Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
We will not be driven by fear into an age of unreason if we dig deep in our history and our doctrine and remember that we are not descended from fearful men.
Talking shit talking. Welcome back to Talking Shiitake. This is Christian.
This is Katie. Hey, Christian.
What's going on, Katie?
Here we are, another exciting episode of Talking Shiitake.
Is there anything more exciting than Talking Shiitake?
I'm sure there might be, but right now, at this moment, there's not. And just think about it. I think this is what, like our 15th podcast?
Number 15.
How exciting is that? So, well, you know, we're rolling along. I hope people are, you know, listening here and there. If people are, I mean, we're open to suggestions. Any topics that you guys would like to talk about, we're not necessarily going to talk about it, but we'll listen.
We can talk about the baboons that have pet dogs.
Baboons have pet dogs?
It's a video I saw today.
That's kind of cute.
Baboons in a landfill in Saudi Arabia, kidnap the local, wild dogs in the area. They're puppies.
They kidnapped them. They dognapped them.
Dognapped them, that's true. Walked up, grabbed it by the tail, and dragged it away.
And now they're raising them as pets?
That's how the story goes. There's not really too much proof on it yet. I guess they haven't been able to really study them, but they did show video of the dogs hanging out with the baboons and the baboons grooming the dogs and seeming to get along and protect them. But, I mean, that's not completely similar to how the dog became man's best friend, but it's close.
Mm-hmm.
So, we've
got to think that animals have to evolve too, right? I mean, we say humans evolve, but then we put animals in this place where they're perpetually just stupid animals, right?
I thought it was the other way around. Animals evolved and people did not. Did I get that wrong somehow?
I'm not saying that you're wrong there, but I mean we evolve with technology. You know, we're more advanced now than we were 100 years ago. Are animals not more advanced now than they were 100 years ago? I mean, I think there's been studies to show that they are. There was a story I read recently actually about a little girl who made friends with crows. Have you seen this?
I did.
Did you really?
Yes,
and she leaves the little peanuts out, and then the crows started bringing gifts to the girl, like little charms and shiny rocks and little pieces of glass, and she has this whole collection of all the gifts that these crows have brought her, and she's built this relationship with them. I mean, yeah, it's based on food, but they're still giving gifts to the girl.
Right. And
which is very interesting.
You know, maybe the crows have always been somewhat like that, but now we're finally past that stupid bird stage to where we're actually giving them credit. I mean, it was just recently that we figured out that birds can use tools. And It wasn't that long ago that we didn't think any animal could use tools. And then we started noticing it in the ape world. And then you start seeing birds, ravens and crows, using sticks to help them do different things. And I actually watched another video recently where they had this crow fly into this little, I guess it's a coop, and it had this complex puzzle where it would have to do things in a certain order to be able to get a stick long enough to pull this food out. And they basically had these pebbles in these different areas and a small stick attached to a rope, and the stick that was long enough to reach the food was in kind of a locked case that could only be opened by dropping enough weight on it.
Interesting.
So, and it wasn't just that the crow had to get the stick from the rope that it was tied to, go over and pull the first rock out. So it pulled the first rock out, dropped it on the table, went and got another stick, pulled another rock out, set it on the table, and then grabbed another rock, set it on the table, and then went and dropped all three into this case, was able to get the bigger stick and pull out the food.
Huh.
And that's supposed to be way beyond what a crow can do.
Well, crows, I think we definitely have not given them the credit that they're due. I mean, now we see them do crazy things, like the crows that live in the cities. They'll actually take walnuts or an acorn or something, and they'll fly it out into the street, and then, because they'll wait for the light to turn red, mm-hmm. then they'll fly back, and then the light turns green, and the car runs over the nuts and cracks them open for them. Then they wait for the light to turn red, and then they run out and get the nuts from the inside the shell. I'm like, that's brilliant.
Yep.
I mean, you don't expect a crow to be able to figure that process out. Like, they even know what the light systems are.
Like the dog, I mean, they've seen dogs in the cities do the same thing with lights. And then they had the report of dogs riding on a subway train or a train to get to another area to get food, and then getting back on the train and going back home in the evening.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. That's so amazing. We just don't give them the credit, I think, that's due. Because they're not, they don't communicate the same way that we do.
I think,
you know,
I think,
and we feel like we're advanced.
Right. I think some of it, we just have not, we're so maybe egocentric that we think we're the most intelligent being
right
on the planet. And in many ways we probably are, but that doesn't mean that we're not part of the animal, I guess, kingdom.
Yeah, we separate ourselves from the animals. Like, there's animals and then there's humans. But are we not the human animal?
Not, I guess, not if you believe in creationism. I mean, is that close to the same thing? We're kind of believing we're the most important mm-hmm. thing in the universe and nothing else matters. Okay, maybe it matters a little bit, but not on the same level as us.
Yeah, I definitely don't think we put ourselves way more important than I think we actually are.
Yeah, even among each other. I mean,
that's
yeah,
true.
You ask somebody if they're a good driver, and they'll tell you yes, and we're not as good at drivers as we think we are, or half as smart as we think we are.
So where does this self-bloviating sort of pompous attitude come from, you think?
Well, I think we've been told for a while, maybe thousands of years, that we are that amazing or that smart or above everything else. I mean, even in humans in villages next to each other think that the other village is stupid compared to them. And we still see that all over the world. One group is not as smart as the other. One group should be in bondage, or even now men and women, you know, the difference is there. Women get paid less than men. I mean, it's mm-hmm. so naturally we're going to think a bird is stupid and a dog is here to serve us.
Right. But I mean, that, it just kind of reflects on who we are,
exactly.
That we can't see past that, that we can't see the intelligence and the communication in dolphins, although we can kind of now, and we're learning to appreciate it a little more now, but it's just taken a long time.
I think we're in a better place now than we were 20 years ago. And we're definitely in a better place than when, was it John Lilly did his study on dolphins back in the 60s, where he basically had people, and I think we've talked about it here on the podcast before, but where he had a group of scientists studying dolphins kind of in a natural, somewhat natural habitat, where they were in the water all the time and the people lived in rooms with them, but there was a bed above the water, but the water was going all around the room.
Mm-hmm.
So they could, and they tried to communicate with the dolphins that way. And they were able to a certain extent, the dolphins were able to communicate back, and there was all kinds of controversy, and maybe we'll post a link to give more information on it, but later on, Lilly decided to get into some psychedelics, and at that time, that was, what is it, verboten, if you use the German word, and
mm-hmm.
they basically ran him out, you know, like he was, had no credibility, because he had experimented with some drugs.
Right.
So, but now you look back at his studies and you see some of them were ahead of their times.
Well, then, have you seen that movie, The Life of Nim? Or maybe it's just called Nim.
Is it about the rats?
The monkey? No, with the monkey. I think it's a gorilla, actually.
No, I haven't.
And they adopt him as a, you know, this is in the 70s, I want to say early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
So they adopt the gorilla as a baby. and they raise it as a human baby to see if the if you'll communicate. And it's just, you know, they just didn't have the animal rights things going on then that they have now. It was just awful. I thought it was going to be a lot better than it was. It was really horrible what they do to this poor monkey. It's just awful, the things that humans do. Because this is a gorilla. Like, you take him, no matter what you do, no matter what environment that you raise this gorilla in, he's going to have an instinct to be a gorilla, you know?
Right.
So when he grows up to be this huge gorilla, everybody's wondering, why is he bashing people's heads in, you know? Because he's a gorilla, and he feels threatened, and that's what he does in the jungle, and he would do in the wild. It's a survival thing, and that's what he's going to do here. Oh, well, if he's going to hurt a human, let's do, you know, we got to cage him back up. Now he has no idea how to live in the wild because we've taken him out of his natural habitat, you know? It's like, these are the horrible things that humans do.
Well, maybe he wasn't acting like a gorilla. Maybe he was acting like a human.
Yeah, it's a good point. He just had the strength of a gorilla.
Yeah. He's the strength of a gorilla, looked like a gorilla, acted like a human, so put him in a cage. Isn't that what we do to humans?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point, right?
Right.
Good point.
So, wow. There's also the story, and I can't remember the gorilla's name. The gorilla was, its handler hadn't shown up for a while, and it was a female gorilla that had lost a baby, and the handler hadn't shown up for a while, so the gorilla was mad. And when the gorilla was mad at one of the humans, the gorilla would basically ignore the human. So when the handler, the woman, came back to the gorilla, and the gorilla was kind of upset, and they communicated through sign language,
mm-hmm.
She explained to the gorilla that she had had a miscarriage. And then the gorilla made the sign for tears.
Aww.
Yeah, so it was pretty crazy that just to think that, you know, you're communicating kind of the only way you can in this situation through sign language.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an experiment at the time. But then when you see the gorilla be able to understand emotions, then you start realizing that there's something else going on there. And maybe we need to start maybe treating animals different. I know that's hard to imagine sometimes when we have to experiment on them and,
mm-hmm.
you know, hunt some of them out of existence, mm-hmm. and maybe damage the environment so much that some of them won't make it. But maybe it's time to
pay more attention, I think.
Step outside of our human box and realize that there's a circle. I think there's a song about that circle, too.
So are we trying to put a square peg in a round hole? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I thought it was a circle. Elton John talked about a circle. The circle of life.
The circle of life. There's quite a few songs about the circle of life.
Not any from The Lion King. There's just that one.
Just that one. There's The Circle Game by Joni Mitchell, which is a good one, too.
I've never heard of that one.
Oh, it's good. You should check it out.
So,
so with what is this human box? We're living in a human box. How do we get there?
That's a good question. What do you think about this human box?
Well, I think it comes from trying to define our surroundings, that we don't necessarily understand everything that's going on, and we've done this for many, many years, and I think we understand obviously more now than we did, you know, a few centuries ago, but we're continually trying to put every idea into this neat little box where we can understand it. You know what I mean? Oh my gosh, the sun goes away. Well, how does this happen? It's nighttime. Well, a bear comes up and swallows the sun, right? That's the little story we tell ourselves so that we can justify what happens. Then we realize, you know, the whole orbit thing, and then say, okay, well, then, you know, the sun orbits around the Earth, right? Because we're the center of the entire universe, so the sun must orbit around the Earth. And we realize, oh, that doesn't really happen. So we change our little stories here and there, but every time we change it, we put it back into our neat little box so that we can understand it. I think it's purely for our comprehension, because we don't understand.
We put it in that box that the box actually rotates around us or revolves around us, because it's all about us.
It's all about us. It might be all about you, Christian. I know where you're coming from.
Well, I mean, you've known me many years, and you know that's part of my life. But I am just a microcosm of the human experience.
But so, see, I think that's what it is, too, that we've got to realize that we are the microcosm of the macrocosm, you know, and they must correlate with each other. So that's our significance.
Are you sure? I was trying to say I was what the macrocosm surrounded, or, it, you know, it surrounded me and it emulated. That's not what I was trying to say.
You, I am agreeing with you actually, but it's not just you, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. I'm going to need therapy after this episode.
So what is our episode about today?
I think our episode actually, and I don't know, I don't think we planned it, but kind of we're going to segue into the future of news. And I think you might be able to connect the connect it back to our, how we started talking about animals. I mean, the way we tend to view and put out the news right now is more about us, I guess, an egocentric way that we do things in this world. The news is all about us and our communities, and maybe who cares about the other people, or we receive the news in a certain way to where we make ourselves feel better. And which, if you look at it the right way, if you're just receiving information that makes you feel better, you're probably going to miss a lot of information. And I think that's where the news is gone. It's not the news of our parents, which might have been filtered in a certain way even at that time, but there was still news. Now the news is wrapped up in opinion and people arguing with each other, and nobody cares about the news. They just care about the side they feel that they're on winning.
So there's always an agenda.
Right. There's always and I think the agenda is selling commercials. I don't want to make it out to be that it's bigger than that. I think all the news is about is making money. So if it's about making money, you're going to package it a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
The easiest way, for the masses to take in. And when you look at studies talking about some of the popular ways we watch news now, you really get a little shocked. There was a study that was done recently that went out and surveyed a bunch of people, and they talked to them about how they received their news in the last week. And then after they found out, they would ask them some questions.
And do we know anything about the demographic of this audience that was tested?
It was pretty random.
Okay.
So basically they would ask them which news they've been viewing the last week.
Mm-hmm.
They would ask some domestic questions and some international questions.
Okay.
Now, I may use this in a way to rip one particular news channel.
I'm just waiting for that to happen.
Now, when it sounds like that, I'm going to say one is at the top of the news, current news, I guess, formulas game.
Mm-hmm.
The most viewers. But there's two, the other two are pretty close as far as that goes.
Right.
And the people that watch all three of these networks tend to be the least informed.
Interesting.
So, and the ratings, there's a series of questions, and the ratings, basically, they have five questions on each subject, domestic and international.
Okay.
And then you get 1,185 random nationwide respondents were asked what news sources they had consumed in the past week.
Mm-hmm.
So, with questions being about the U.S. and abroad.
Okay.
And then on average, people correctly answered 1.6 of the five questions about domestic affairs.
Okay.
So, if if we take into account the average for Fox News, they answered 1.04% of those correctly. So, Fox News was the bottom, of course.
I mean, honestly, I wonder if people just don't pay attention across the board, though. They have that waters on the street. Have you ever seen that?
Yes. But
where he goes out and asks those questions. I mean, these are supposedly random people just getting off the subway, right?
But you have been in the past, you've been around that kind of stuff even more so than I have. And you know it's not random. It's entertaining.
That's what they're looking for. And so this is what I'm saying. These numbers can always be skewed however you want to skew them. But I think the point that you're trying to make is that in spite of watching popular news networks that we feel that we're informed, when asked the real questions, nobody really did very well in the test.
I have a lot more data for you.
Oh, okay. Continue.
First off, let me just let you know it's the Fairleigh Dickinson University study.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not some news channel studying to make their competitors look bad.
Okay.
So Fox News viewers rated the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Followed not too far behind by people that did not watch any news.
Okay.
At 1.22%. Followed very closely by the other two major news organizations, MSNBC and CNN,
mm-hmm.
at 1.26%.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's not much of a difference. You see the three top news distributors in the country failing, basically. Then you're going to jump into talk radio, which probably has a lot more regular news mixed in because most talk radio channels tend to have that news segment.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of the hour.
Right.
They're 1.35.
Okay.
Next up at 1.42, which is this part's kind of hilarious because it's a comedy show. The Daily Show comes in at 1.42%.
That's funny.
Now, the only news, organizations that come above that or way of receiving the news were the Sunday morning political shows, which
okay.
is understandable because you might have a partisan politics on there, depending on who's interviewed. They do tend to deliver a lot of information in a less entertaining way.
Mm-hmm.
And then my personal favorite is NPR, which came out on top at 1.51%.
Oh, funny. That's funny.
Yeah, and NPR has a reputation for being liberal, and I do believe it's liberal leaning, but when you listen to the news part of it, it's just the news. It's not opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bunch of shows and segments that tend to have liberal views on how to be better to other people, maybe how to protect the environment, things like that. So I think that's where the liberal biased part of it comes from, and that would be the same with The Daily Show. Even though it's comedy, it's been in a couple studies, but this is, I think, the only one that's really not, you know, media-based. Viewers of The Daily Show and The Colbert Report tend to score higher as far as understanding the world around them than, say, a Fox News, MSNBC, or NBC, or CNN.
Hmm.
So it's an interesting little thing.
I would be interested to know what those questions that were asked, the five questions, but...
So are you thinking that maybe the Fox News people are smarter than what this study shows?
No, not at all. If you look at the numbers, they're, like you said, they're really close.
Yeah.
Nobody did really well on the test.
NPR.
As far as what's really going on. Okay, well, they did fairly well. But if you think that you're an avid news watcher, listener, you would think that you're fairly informed and that you would get, you know, 50% or more right on these, you know, but
well,
that's what I'm saying. I'm curious to know what the questions are, but either way, I still feel that as much as we feel that we're informed, are we really getting the information?
Well, I can
what's
tell
really
you
going on.
And I don't think it was this study, but there was a similar study done a little bit before this. And I'd have to look into it and see which one actually asked this question. But one of the questions had to do with the Arab Spring and when Egypt actually overthrew their leader at the time, which everybody should have known because it was on every channel.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're seeing...
But it's interesting that that's not relevant, though, right? I mean, it's so far away. Maybe we're not paying attention because it doesn't really affect us in our homes, in our daily lives. So we don't really... That kind of information doesn't stick.
I don't think that's the case. I think the way we tend to receive the news doesn't focus on that. I mean, if you really look at Fox News, MSNBC, and maybe CNN. CNN's kind of a mess.
A little different, yeah.
But I always say, I mean, I cannot stand Fox News just because of what it does to people. It doesn't help. It doesn't inform. It just makes people angry.
Mm-hmm. It does make you angry. But MSNBC does the same thing.
Right,
me.
And
so
I say there's
they're
not.
The same. They're exactly the same to me.
The only difference between the two is Fox News has a better business model. So they're a little bit more successful, but they both deliver anger, frustration, you know, polarization.
Okay, and that's a great point, because I think that that might be some of the agenda. I think all the news stations like that, not necessarily, you know, your news at 5, your local news, but the big news channels like that, I think that that's part of an agenda. And I don't think they're either, it's exclusive to any of them. I think they're all across the board equal to it.
I think it's a part of the business model. And I think one of the, a political scientist, his name was Dan Cassino, actually kind of talked a little bit about it. He said, ideological news sources like Fox and MSNBC are really just talking to one audience. And this is solid evidence that if you're not in that audience, you are not going to get anything out of watching them.
Ah, interesting.
So basically, and this study didn't just say this. I mean, you can go and take a look at it. Fox News appeals to its audience. MSNBC appeals to a different audience, but it does the same thing.
It does the same thing. And all it's really doing is that people have these, I like the ideology news, that's perfect, because that's what it is that we have these ideologies within our own head. And then we search for a channel that's going to validate those beliefs, that belief system that we've already created in our head.
Right.
So now we're looking for that. So if we already have this left-wing type mentality and then we go watch MSNBC, they're like, yeah, that's exactly right. Because it's just reinforcing what we already believe. And it's the same with Fox.
Right.
So it's really not teaching us anything or informing us. And maybe there is information in there to some degree, but it's really just saying, like you said, it's creating anger. It's creating divisiveness amongst people, and I think that is the agenda.
Right. I think a good example, and I'm going to pick on Fox News right now, but if I go back to the previous presidential administration, we'd be picking on MSNBC. When you see, and this is something, as I was thinking about our podcast and our subject, I started thinking about, when you see a news organization focusing all of its attention on the president that is in the office right now, and all that attention tends to be negative, whether there's some positive in there or not, because in the previous administration and probably...
Yeah, there was some serious Bush hating going on. Come
right.
on.
But if there was something that Bush did that many people thought were good, and we'll exclude the very first days after 9/11, because that really is a kind of an anomaly in how things go. But if you take that out of the equation, when you see something that maybe Bush did correct or President Obama did correct, you'll see that the opposing, and it's not supposed to be opposing, but the opposing news organization has basically wrapped it up in nothing but negativity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Obama gets Bin Laden, turn it into negativity. Bush, you know, overthrows the Taliban. And both of those situations had a lot of negativity, maybe had some positivity in them. But either way, if the spin is produced to create some anger, keep the viewers watching through the next commercial,
mm-hmm.
and there's no news there. It's opinion, and it's biased opinion, and really misleading opinion. And if you can go through, you know, all kinds, Snopes.com, whenever, one of the things I do when I see something posted about a politician or a news organization or some weird, you know, I guess, thing you see in social media that everybody, especially on Facebook, that everybody starts touting as the truth,
mm-hmm.
you pop it into Snopes, and most of the time you find out it's either somewhat true,
partially true.
Yes.
There's a bit of truth, but it's spun in a whole different direction.
Yeah. No truth at all, a lot of times. And that's where I think, and one of the reasons I think we're talking about this, is I think
exactly.
we're getting to a point, almost a tipping point, where people are done with the current news formats. And the people that are really done are those that are coming into power, which, you know, are what basically the 18 to 30, 35-year-olds.
The millennials,
yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes we want to knock them because they're young, especially the younger part of that generation. But what you're seeing is they aren't getting their news from Fox. They
they're
aren't
not.
getting their
They're
news
getting their
from
news from YouTube and Facebook.
Right, and they're better at taking a look at a story and quickly finding out facts.
Discernment. Yeah. Because they do have that information at their fingertips to be able to do the research. And it is interesting because we really didn't have that as kids. You kind of just went with whatever the news told you, or you'd have to go to the library or read the newspaper. I mean, that was really the only information you had.
Right. And the difference when we were kids, though, is the news, the evening news, we didn't have 24-hour news until later on, you know. And most of the time you and I were kids, cable news is just taking off.
Right.
You know, as you and I are teenagers becoming adults. So it wasn't the 24-hour news cycle that we have now where they constantly have to put something on there to keep you watching for 24 hours.
But, you know, it's almost like it started about the whole 60 Minutes and 2020 came on board. And that's kind of what the 24-hour news channels almost became. There's a story behind it. There's, you know, it gets you emotionally invested into the characters of the story.
And I think that's how cable news started.
That's what I mean, yeah.
But then now it's not even anything near that.
Right.
You know, we don't have...
Well, kind of.
Then it was a news report. But now it's all about opinion. You get two experts arguing.
Well, there was something on Fox News the other day about talking about ISIS.
Why are you watching Fox News?
It was just a story that was on. But it was about ISIS and how horrible this group is, and granted they are doing some horrible things, but you could see how they're using that emotion to rile you up so angrily against this group. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't be angry at the group, okay, but you can see the manipulation there. And you know that same story is being told in the Middle East right now against the Americans. You know, it's all a twisted tale. Nobody really knows what the truth is. So my question, I guess, would be, where do we really get our news? Where do we really find out what's really going on? Is there even a place that even exists?
Well, I think there's many ways to find out, and all of them take a little bit of work. When we're watching the current forms of cable news channels, we're asking them to do all the work. And I think in anything in life, you're not going to get anything for free. And that includes your news. If you're just going to let them feed you what they want to feed you so that they can let you watch the next commercial on Viagra or some, you know, breakfast cereal or whatever it is. I mean, if we're going to let it sit around and watch that and let them feed it to us without checking on it, then that's what we get. Luckily, the younger generation either are not paying attention to that at all and enjoying their lives, or when something pops up, they start looking for it. So,
and then, like, you see something like Henry Winkler, the Fonz, doing a commercial about reverse home mortgages, and you think, what is this world coming to? Like, this is Fonzie, for crying out loud. And that's what they're doing. They're appealing to us because we know Fonzie's cool. And if Fonzie's cool and he's doing a reverse home mortgage, then... That has nothing to do with anything, but that's the kind of stuff that pops up.
Exactly. And what is it, Fred Thompson, an ex-actor and congressman, doing
right?
Same kind of commercials? We got Alec Baldwin and Samuel Jackson asking you, what's in your wallet?
Why do they want to know what's in my wallet? It's not their business what's in my wallet.
Right. And you're like sitting there looking at it, and you're like, even Montel Williams, who used to be a popular daytime host, he's... on a lower level because he's basically sending people to get their checks cashed, check cashing loans, which is basically ends up being a form of slavery in the end.
But what have they done, though? They've taken these people that we are connected with. We feel like we know these people, especially people like the Fonz that you grew up with, and these characters that we somehow feel like is part of our family because they know we're going to trust them. But they do the same thing with the news. It's all the same. It's all packaged material delivered to you in a nice little just heat it up and eat it kind of format, and then you just feed it all in.
Do we,
you know, and here we take it in, and that's all we do.
But do we trust any of these people anymore?
You know, this is it's
When they
because.
come onto a commercial, do we trust them anymore? We may be entertained by the Super Bowl commercials, and some of them actually may have a, create enough buzz for us to go out and purchase something, but we don't trust them.
And I think you had a really good point earlier about the millennials. I don't think that they trust anybody.
No, they've been
They
lied
have
to
been
all their
so
lives.
bombarded with so much crap that now they, and it might be developing a really keen sense of discernment, which is a great thing. I think that we all could use a little lesson in that. But just discerning what do we really let into our minds and what are we being brainwashed by? They're a little, I don't know. I'd like to think that they're a little more savvy with it.
You know, a lot of people will say that they have a sense of entitlement, and they do, and it's not all bad though. I mean, if you look, and it's really interesting, if for supervisors of that age group, I'll talk to say my dad's generation, and they cannot believe this that generation how entitled they feel they are, and how different they are, and how they don't have the same work ethic. But one thing that studies have shown with that generation is while they may not go out and do the normal, traditional American thing from the 50s up until recently of, get wealth at any cost, step on people to do it. That is the American dream. They tend to not be as motivated for certain things in the workplace, but you get them in a group and they can work together on some amazing things as a team, and that is not always the American way. We can come together in a tragedy, which is great, but in a day-to-day workplace, the younger generation is better at working together for a common goal, and I think that's where, in the long run, it's going to be better. They don't want they want to be successful, they want to be happy. But I think their happiness is starting to move up there to a level, the same level as their success. And I think if they keep going that way, it's gonna it you will see no more of the traditional Fox News and MSNBCs and CNNs, along with
That is as long as they can communicate via text.
but they can
That's what
and,
I'm saying.
and
That's how they work in their group settings. Nobody actually says anything, they just communicate with their thumbs.
But have we really ever said anything anyway? I mean, really,
I
if
mean,
you,
we talk a lot, but are we actually saying anything? I don't
I
know.
mean, most of the time, except for maybe with a small group of friends in the workplace, you're saying what needs to be said or what should be said or what makes you look better in the workplace. And what I'm talking about our generation and the previous generations, not the younger generation. So I think they're texting. They may not be talking as much, but they're communicating more.
Well, my concern though with this new generation though, and it's been brought to light by a couple different people. One of them is the what's his, Cliff Clavin on from Cheers, right? He goes and does this tour about Made in America. He wants things to be made from Americans instead of purchasing all of our goods from China. So
He's xenophobic.
he's xenophobic.
Yeah, he hates everybody.
Yeah, that's probably true. But he brings up a good point, though, is that the generation that's coming up is not interested in working on machines. Most of them cannot sew. Home economics has been completely eliminated pretty much from schools. They don't have the skills to survive without purchasing stuff. Like, they can't make their own clothes. They can't. I'm actually including myself in this, too. I think our generation actually lacks a lot of these skills as well. But what we're finding is that these people that work in machine shops are going to be retiring, these baby boomers, and there's nobody to replace them. We don't have people that are skilled with their hands, woodworkers and mechanics. And actually, mechanics now, you have to have a degree in computers because the automobiles are all run by computers now. You can't just have a regular, wrench slinging mechanic anymore. I mean, this is the generation that's coming up, and nobody wants to do these jobs. They don't want to do the labor jobs. And
And
that's a concern. I mean, I think that we're going to find that we're going to end up having to purchase everything. We're not going to be self-reliant anymore.
I think if we needed to be, we would be. And
through necessity, yeah, by a total collapse of our economy, and then we'd be forced to.
Now, should we base our day-to-day activities on a worst-case scenario?
No.
And isn't that depressing? I mean, I know that's what they've done in the past in some situations. We will always have people to manufacture things. It's just too expensive to do it in the U.S. or in most Western countries because we have this view that we should get paid a certain amount of money, and that's not wrong. So that's why those labor-intensive jobs go to other places or to immigrants, because Americans and most people in the Western world won't do those jobs. Now, is that a little terrifying to, you know, baby boomers who had to work their butts off to make themselves successful? I understand that that is scary, but it's not that world anymore. And there's a lot of good that's going to come out of it not being that world. There might be a time where we stop hating every other country.
Oh, well.
You know, or stop using so many people. And I'm not depending on our generation. I'm depending on the younger generations and then the younger one after that, because they are completely out of that old Cold War thinking, because that's the easiest. But even before the Cold War, the thinking was pretty much the same for the last 100, 200, 300 years before that. I mean, it was more, I guess, a lot of people worked their butts off to make it. But also, you know, a good example is when you look at the United States. It's a great group. I mean, the people of the United States have done amazing things, and there's some great people here. But the United States started with slavery and killing a bunch of Native Americans. And that helped make the country stronger. We can't go back and fix that. But we don't want to keep going into the past to try to run the country like we used to at any time, not even back in the 90s, which wasn't that long ago. You know,
repeating those cycles. I mean, that's the thing, is we got to stop repeating those cycles. And I do see that there is a little bit of light at the end of that tunnel with the new generation. I don't think that they're going to be repeating that to the degree.
Yeah. And do we need, I don't need to sew my clothes unless the world falls apart. And chances are we will be able to find a couple things to go read, because more people read now than at any time in history.
Granted, they're reading Facebook, but that's okay.
But reading is reading in the long run. So if the world fell apart tomorrow, I think so. I mean, that's what I've always been told all my life. You know what? We don't really care what you read. Just read.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see that, and the world's, you have the potential to educate yourself on anything if you can read. And that's always been the case.
Let's take that education, news. So where do we go for real information? Where do we go for real news? How do we really know what's going on? What are the sources that we can go to?
Well, I think we found out the top three sources not to go to.
Well, there you go. We've eliminated a few.
Right.
But is there anything out there that's really saying the truth?
I think you have to go to more than one source, compare it, and you have to have a certain level of empathy and understanding and intelligence, maybe even education in some, as far as reading goes, in most cases.
Before you can handle the truth?
Well, maybe. I mean,
I agree with you. I think you have to have some sort of stability of who you are before you can take on a whole ideology of something else.
Right. I mean, if you watch anything that tells you their opinion, that's not going to be necessarily information. That's just opinion. Mm-hmm. And you and I have both talk about our opinions sometimes on here, and we may be wrong. But
you may be, but
no. Well, I mean, yeah, exactly. It's just you have to look at different sources. You have to be able to look at different sources. And nowadays, you can. I mean,
we have more information at our fingertips than ever in human history, maybe with the exception of Atlantis.
If there was such a thing.
What do you mean if?
There's no proof.
Okay, Christian.
I mean, I watched a couple of news, in air quotes, reports about there being Atlantis, and there are great myths about it, and some myths end up being true. But there's no evidence yet that we can point to that is directly shows us that there is such a thing as
This
Atlantis.
is a great, this is perfect because, okay, this is another thing. Okay, so we can say the same thing about really any historical thing that we've been taught. Like, we learn these stories in history. I mean, isn't that a form of news? It's just
World War II? That wasn't a fact?
how it went down. Do we really know all the details about it? We know what we've read in our history books, but do we know what's true? The victor tells the story, right?
But what if you're, I mean, nowadays you don't have to just read the victor's story. You can read the stories from German residents that were not the victors.
But we have to be open-minded enough to be able to even ask those questions.
You don't necessarily have to be open-minded to ask those questions. You have to be, if you're open-minded enough to, if you ask those questions, you're open-minded. But what you have to be able to do is be open-minded enough to look for those answers. Not just the version with John Wayne in it,
Right. This is what I'm saying.
or a good example recently, which we talked about on our last podcast. You don't have to get the version that Clint Eastwood put out of American Sniper, but you look at, hey, maybe what did Chris Kyle's enemies say about him? And is there any truth to that? Is that something we should listen to? Like nowadays, you can watch Vietnam veterans go back to Vietnam and talk to some of their former enemies and get along and have understanding and a certain level of respect. And we hated those people back then. But there's a certain amount of truth on both sides of that fight.
And it goes to the whole, it speaks to the whole theory of relativity. I mean, truth is somewhat to the observer. From what angle are you looking at the truth? If I'm looking at it from this side and you're looking at it from this side, we both see our truths, but we can see them completely different ways.
Well,
Does that not make it true? Does it make
maybe,
it a belief?
okay, we might see our truth, and our being kind of like a singular version, but
Right.
if we look at both sides, we get more of a group our truths, and then somewhere in there is something closer to the truth, and I think in many cases you're not going to get all of the truth, because you don't. There's it's hard to get context, even if you watch video of something that happens in the war, some kind of great atrocity, you don't get complete context. And maybe that's the problem with the news organizations and why they're not informative, is there's no context except for just a one-sided context, which is absolutely no context at all.
Right.
And I think you're not going to ever have a complete truth because we're not all knowing. But the more information you get, the better chance you have of finding common ground and something that, when you combine them together, might be enough of the truth to at least get by and care about more than just ourselves.
So we know that there's perspectives on our beliefs and what we consider to be true, but are there any absolute truths, do you think? Do you think there's anything absolute in our existence, our entire existence?
I mean, I think the absolute truth would probably be that we're meant to be kind to each other. And that's
But that's
probably,
still so relative to the what is kind?
is it
You know what
real?
I mean? Like, if I'm being kind to people, maybe my sense of being kind is not helping people because I want them to fend for themselves so that they can actually, you know, learn to do something for themselves. And another person's act of kindness is to give them something so that they have the charity that they want to give and make themselves feel better. So those are two acts of what people would be considered to be kind, but aren't they still relative?
I think when you combine those two together, along with some other views, again, you get closer to the truth than from one view or the other. Does that make sense?
No, totally.
If yeah, because you can't just hand everybody everything. I mean, it's impossible to do in most cases anywhere. We're not, most of us aren't rich enough. You also can't withhold everything to try to make that human stronger. You know, even
some
though
people need a little help every once in a while, right? I mean,
we all need a little help, not just some people. I mean, we've all been there.
You're right. We all need each other. We are social creatures that we all need each other. And that's true, too.
And if we work together on these things instead of being so polarized or being told that this way is right and that way is wrong or vice versa, we wouldn't have to worry about that. We would find something that worked and we would, you know, maybe up to a certain point, and then a couple weeks later, a couple years later, a couple hundred years later, we'd find another way that works a little bit better. And if we were looking at both sides or all the sides all the time, we would find common ground a lot quicker, and we wouldn't have an ISIS. We wouldn't have maybe the same level of Democrats and Republicans or conservatives and liberals or religious fanatics and atheists. I mean, there'd be something in the middle that worked for everybody. Kumbaya.
Right. Why can't we all just get along? In my personal opinion, and this is my own truth, is that I think once we get to a certain level of understanding,
are we going vibrations?
Who we really are. I mean, there is. We could always go into vibrations because I'm always up for that conversation. But but if we get into who we really are and we actually do understand what's really going on, and I guess that's where I'm getting at with the whole absolute truths. Like, are there truths that make up the existence of where we are? Are there absolute truths in polarity and the rhythms of the universe? Is there truth in just understanding, not necessarily gravity, but these kind of universal laws that exist? And if we could understand the universal laws, and then we could understand how to live within them, and then you really wouldn't need to be any war or divisiveness. Because when you understand the universal laws and you understand that everybody is one and that by hurting each other, you're hurting yourselves, it doesn't make any sense. Well, we can look at each other and just laugh, like, how stupid are we? Like, if we were an observer from another race looking down on this planet and saying, what the hell are they doing to each other? Here they have this beautiful planet with all these resources, and what are they doing? They're building guns and killing each other and destroying everything. I mean, wouldn't that be just a crazy kick to be able to go up there and watch us and how silly and we look? Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that word. How silly and stupid we look.
Well,
politically incorrect of me, I apologize.
It can be edited out. But no, okay, so let's just say that race is above our planet watching us.
Mm-hmm.
If we have absolute truths, their absolute truth is going to be our weapons are better than them and they have water and gold or whatever they need. So, I mean,
but no,
I don't trust absolute
because they
truths
have
are
to
scary.
Live by them. They are very scary, and I think that's why people steer away from them. They
don't
want
think
to
they're
see
right.
the absolute truth.
I don't think they work.
They have to be because they're true, but it's not necessarily truths in the sense that right and wrong. It's just that if there's a front, there's a back, okay? If there's a yin, there's a yang. There's a balance. There has to be a balance in order for our infrastructure of humanity to actually exist.
Okay.
And so just understanding what I'm saying is the principles behind the makeup of it. I'm talking like on a molecular level to be able to understand, okay, if there's a certain balance, then we got to understand balance. And if there's a certain rhythm, then we need to understand that rhythm. And those are the things that once we can advance enough to truly comprehend what's going on there, then we can realize how silly and stupid we're actually being.
I think within what you were saying, you found the absolute truth, but you also found the flaw in humans and what we think we need. The absolute truth that we look for is one thing or the other. What you're talking about, which may just be the absolute truth, is balance.
Or one of them. I'm not saying there's just one truth. I think there's truths.
Which would mean balance.
Balance is it's key. It exists whether you want it to or not.
Right.
This is where karma comes from.
If there's more than one truth, there's going to be balance in there, right? You're talking polarities, yin and yang.
Right. So if I'm pulling, then something's being pulled. I'm pulling, something's being pulled. So there's...
Or
you know
is
what
it
I'm
being
saying?
Pushed?
Like, right. So if I'm pushing, then something's being pushed. There's,
yeah.
It's all about the genetic makeup and the molecular makeup of everything. It has to be balanced, or the entire, I'm talking physical world, just couldn't exist. And but it also exists in a etheric way too, and this is where kind of karma comes in. So if you put out negativity, negativity is created. If you put out positivity, positivity is created. It's just, it's not good or bad or indifferent. It's just the way the system works. It's a system that we've been put within, and we have to learn to work within that system. And when you understand the system, it makes it much easier to be able to work within it.
I still think an absolute truth in a human way is the problem. I think a balance, which is very hard for humans to do, is probably the closest thing you can get to an absolute truth. And again, that's just saying, I don't trust absolute truths because millions of people have died because of absolute truths.
They're claiming to be the truth. Right.
The planet is being destroyed based on absolute truths.
Well, I don't think those are any absolute truths. I mean, that's why I distinguish between beliefs.
It is an absolute truth to somebody. And a lot of times, to a lot of somebody.
Beliefs to somebody. It's not an absolute truth unless it's absolutely true. It's not a belief. And that's it's kind of hard because we're in a distortion within our existence. So when we come here to manifest as humans on this planet, we live in a distortion where we can't really see the full truth. We're just kind of grasping at what we think it may be. It does exist. The absolute truths are there. We just can't necessarily grasp them from the perspective that we're seeing from this planet in our little human state.
I'm going to say that if we believe it's an absolute truth, it is absolutely true. Like when I was a little kid and there was a monster under my bed, that was absolutely true. I lost sleep over it. I worried about it all day. I thought about how to get away from it and how to overcome it. That was an absolute truth.
The idea of it was an absolute truth because you experienced the fear from it. So it absolutely was true to your head, but it doesn't make it an absolute truth. In principle,
but
that makes sense. So it didn't actually really exist,
okay.
But it did in your head. So the belief, I guess, okay. So that's just saying an idea can exist, though.
An idea that actually moves us in a certain direction, or gives us a belief, or makes me think that there's a monster under the bed or in the closet. It becomes an absolute truth. An absolute truth, I think, that you're talking about is maybe something metaphysical that we don't quite understand, but it's absolutely true on how the universe works. But in truth...
Well, it makes it an absolute truth, not just a belief truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you use the word absolute truth, means that it absolutely is true.
But we don't know. It's
you're throwing around absolute all over the place. It's not absolute that there was a monster under your bed.
Maybe there was. I've heard of them. I've seen them in my mind. That's absolutely true. I think we're arguing philosophies, but an absolute truth in your mind, I think, is how the universe works in every way, and it is absolutely the way it works. But we're not capable of discovering that. Our minds are able to create an absolute truth, and it's proven over and over again. And
we're able to create an absolute belief.
That belief becomes a truth in our minds. And
it becomes true to what we feel is true, but it's still just a belief. It's not a real truth in the definition of truth, meaning that it actually is true.
Okay, if somebody has a certain belief and it creates maybe a placebo effect, that is absolutely the truth. They have healed themselves by
belief. No, the absolute truth is that because of what they did, they actually sent out a certain type of energy, right, that believed it, that their body allowed to receive that energy. There's a science behind that, too. Doesn't necessarily mean that that was true. So if somebody has a delusion, like somebody is on LSD and they have a complete delusion of something in front of them, right?
Or they see the universe.
Hallucination, a complete hallucination. So what are we saying? So because they see that makes it true? It's their belief that they see it. And I'm not saying that they don't truly see what they're seeing. Their mind has created something. It still doesn't make it true.
We need a couple philosophy students to argue this. Because that's where we're at now. And I totally believe what's in our mind is the absolute truth. And that's why.
Wow.
Why
so everybody's in everybody's mind. That's what I mean. That's just still perspective. Because you can't have one person thinking one thing about something and one person thinking another thing. And they're both absolute truths because there's only one truth.
There's people going around killing people every day. And that's the absolute truth in their mind.
That's their belief. There's a difference. People believe in God. You know, people believe that, you know, they'll wake up tomorrow.
The truth is,
they may not.
People believe in God and believe that's absolutely true that there is a God. And other people believe differently. And that's absolutely true. And they both live their day-to-day life doing that. They both murder and save people with both beliefs based on that. And we will die not knowing the absolute truth because of a certain balance in the universe. If we knew the absolute truth, what's the purpose?
Right. I mean, I agree with you on that point, that we can't necessarily know everything now in this existence because it would kind of ruin our existence and the reason that we're here. But we can sort of understand the system.
I don't think we can.
I think we can.
I mean, it's been described to us,
you know, Hermes Trismegistus wrote it in the Emerald Tablets. There's definitely some principles there that we can study and learn from and understand of a little bit of how the system works.
Monkeys don't even need to ride it, and they can treat each other right and go take a dog as a pet.
And that's a really good point, too. I mean, do we even need words? Do we even need scripture? Do we even need the news? Do we even need anybody to tell us anything? If we truly just look within ourselves and go with what we innately feel within us as a human being, I think we all would be kind to each other. Because really, anybody out there, people that are out there killing people because they're told one thing or another because they've been manipulated and lied to and they haven't been told the truth, is they're out there killing people. But really, what do they want in their existence? You know, don't we all just kind of want to, maybe not, I don't know, I could be wrong. Maybe they aren't here to do it. Maybe they are here to kill people. I don't know.
And maybe that's the balance. Maybe that is the balance. Maybe we spend too much time looking for these truths instead of living truths. You know, I mean, we spend too much time justifying why we believe what we believe.
Oh my gosh, right?
And why we make the decisions we make instead of just like, oh crap, I just screwed up that decision. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And then don't do it again.
Right.
I forgive you for making that decision.
Forgive yourself for crying out loud. I mean, human beings are the only animal on this planet that punishes themselves over and over and over again for one mistake. No other animal on this planet does that. And humans can do it continually.
That's because we're searching for the absolute truth.
I have a feeling
we're going to come back to these absolute truths. Maybe that'll be the next podcast. Katie and Christian square off over the absolute truth and scare off. Yes. And incite the masses. Well, if the masses
are listening. Or the couple people that listen.
Yeah. Become the new Fox
Both
News.
Both you guys listening.
Irene? One of our most popular listeners, or loyal listeners, Irene.
Yeah.
Shout out to Irene.
Yeah. Those other two people what's going on. Yeah, and who knows who's listening, but we're throwing it out there anyway, right?
Well, I think the fact that we got into a heated debate over absolutionism or whatever you want to call it, I guess absolutionism is something totally different, but
I think it would be, but that's okay.
But it's just as horrible as the absolute truth.
Horrible? Why would that be horrible? I don't see why you're taking this sort of negative side on understanding what a truth would be. Like, if a truth is that everything has a rhythm, okay? Like, the ocean goes out and comes in, has a rhythm. Our bodies have a rhythm where we breathe in, we breathe out. The oscillation of the earth has a rhythm. The universe, the way that planets orbit all have a rhythm. Like, understanding that that rhythm is an absolute truth, and understanding that you can either go with the rhythm or you can understand it, you can at least know what's going on when you're swinging to one side of the pendulum or the other. You can say, okay, now I'm on the good side of the rhythm and now I'm on the bad. And by understanding it, at least you can help you deal with it and get through it. So those kind of truths that actually exist, I mean, it's whether you believe in them or know them or whatever, it doesn't really matter because they're there no matter what. But understanding them a little bit can maybe just help us get through this existence.
People in the Middle East understand that the way they look at things and the way we look at things are two different things. I can't look for the absolute truth. It's not enjoyable to me. And the more I look for it, the more I find absolute hatred and despicable people and heartache and pain, and I find it better to just live maybe in an absolute way that works for me, with, you know, I'm trying to be as kind as I can to people. And I think the search for absolute truth is not something everybody can handle, and not something most people can handle
or even want to, or even have the desire to. And I get that. I mean, most people don't have the desire to even care about it.
And saying that, I will say to you, Katie, after knowing you for the years we've known each other, I think you probably are closer to than anybody I know to being able to understand that. And I know that you enjoy that look, that search. I just don't think most people can do it in a way where they can still be kind to other people. Does that make any sense? I mean, I'm giving you kudos.
Yeah, it does. Because I've tried it. Trust me, it's not something that I can talk to anybody about, because
right.
Nobody really cares about it. But that's okay, too. And for whatever reason, I have the desire to go on this quest. And I'm not alone. I mean, there are others, obviously. There's many books, you know, of other people that are... It's a small crowd.
Right. And I'd say that's one of the reasons we have this podcast. And while I think you and I disagree to a certain extent, the reason we have these talks on this podcast is there is an absolute truth out there that we look at it on different levels that we're trying to find. And I don't think you and I are far off. That's why we can sit here and argue about it a little bit. And
still have respect for one another to know that we're still coming from an okay place, because I don't think it's good or bad. I don't think you need to understand absolute truths to live in this world. I don't think it's our quest and our destiny as humans to be able to understand it. I think it's actually the opposite. I think they don't want you to understand it. I'm just saying, as we come here and this is all about your experience and living your life. And just like you're saying, I just want to live my life, you know, and be kind to everybody. I think that's what we're here to do anyway. I don't think they were here to try and figure out the puzzle. You know, that's not the reason. I think most people are here, but for some reason I'm drawn to it, and that's the way I live my life. But that's, you know, I don't look at everybody else like, you guys need to understand this. I don't care. I don't think you need to understand it. I don't think anybody really needs to understand it. It doesn't matter if you understand it, because it's going to exist whether you understand it or not.
And let me just tell a quick little story about how Katie and I met. Years ago, I heard a knock on my door, and I opened up the door, and she's like, would you like to hear the word of the absolute truth?
That is so not true.
That's so not true, but well, that's a great image right there.
That's hilarious. Because it's so opposite of anything I would do. I would never go door to door.
I'm going to be laughing about that image for a long time. And I think with that, we should wrap up this podcast and get back to a subject like this pretty soon.
Yes, we'll have to dive in a little bit deeper, but that was good. And I don't, as far as the future of the news, I agree with you. I think there's going to be some changes as the millennials get older. I think there already are changes in the way that they get their information, that they're not turning to the Fox News, they're not turning to MSNBC, they can't stand it, and they can't stand the anger that it incites in the grown-ups now that they see. They don't want anything to do with it, and so that is going to cause the industry to change. Now, what it's going to look like, I'm not sure, but I do think it's going to change.
I think you're going to see craziness through the next presidential election, and then you're going to see a balance after that. People are going to be fed up. They're already fed up. They're seeing a little bit more of what's going on in the world, and their eyes are open, not just the millennials. I mean, other people are frustrated the older generations, probably ours included, are grasping to what we knew, because what's coming up is mind-boggling and fast and unpredictable, and just and it's amazing in a lot of good ways.
It kind of makes it kind of exciting, actually.
Right, but it's going to be a little scary for the next few years. But I think 10 years from now, the landscape will be changed, and I think most of it will be, unless we blow ourselves up or destroy the ice caps, we'll be okay.
So 10 years from now, we're going to look back at this podcast and we'll say, okay, how off were we?
We won't be off.
No, we're going to be right on.
We're wise individuals.
I think so, and that's true.
That's my truth. Yeah, exactly. I tell myself that before I start every day. Look in the mirror.
You genius, you.
You took the words right out of my mouth. So until next time, this has been Talking Shiitake.
Shoot you? That theory is ridiculous.